this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest this hour is a friend, radio show host, author, and much more, Mr. Josh Tolley. His website, joshtolley.com. He is the host of The Josh Tolley Show, and he's been a guest many times on our show, and we've been on his show many times, and he's a very smart man. Evangelpreneur is the latest book that he has written, and it's a fantastic book. It is economics through a biblical perspective and biblical principles applied to managing your money. And it is a sound book, and I would urge everybody to get it. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Always good to see you guys. And you guys are looking good tonight, by the way.
Hey, we're feeling good, too. Well, you're looking great as well.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Josh, we got so many headlines, so little time. Seriously.
Yes.
Hey, you know, I don't even know where to start except to say, what's going on with the war against the new media, the war against Josh Tolley, the war against Jones, the war against us, the war against the people who are trying to get the truth out there? What's your take on that? Of all the people I really wanted to talk with about this, I really want to get your take on this.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question, and it's something that we actually talked about last time I was on your show, coincidentally, before the election happened. This idea that there is fake news. Now, this is something that is really, really interesting, and I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you, in the Trump administration and these Republicans. So, if you've noticed, the entire world is facing this war against what's called fake news. And for some reason, 16 countries who can't agree on who the bad guys are and who the terrorists are, they all seem to agree on what fake news is. That's a little odd to me. That seems a little globalist. And then you go beyond that and attach to NDAA 2017-18, you have this Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act, the Countering Foreign Disinformation and Propaganda Act, and everybody thinks, well, that just has to do with foreign entities like Russia supposedly meddling with the election or something. But that's not true either, because if you remember back to the PRISM system, that cell phone system, if they wanted to spy on your phone call, all they did was route the call into Canada, route it back, and now it's an international call, which gave them the ability to eavesdrop on it.
That's right.
And if you remember, at first the government denied it. Obama said, no, we're not listening to your phone calls. And then through people like Snowden and others, it came out, well, yeah, we are. And then the White House had to admit it. Yeah, we kind of are. So we know that all they have to do to make something foreign or international is route it through an international communication node. Well, here's where it gets even messier. If you remember back at the end of October, what did we do? What did Obama hand over? Obama handed over control of the internet to the what? The domestic agency? No, he handed it over to an international agency. So now the internet is quite really technically international news. Well, newsflash, a lot of alternative news sources like yourself, like myself, have a huge presence on the internet. So in reality, that's a huge war against all of us. Now, here's where it gets really dangerous. That war is continuing under the Trump administration. A lot of us think, oh, well, the Trump administration, it's good news now that he's here, right? No. No, because he's not doing anything about it either. And in reality, what is he saying all the time? He's labeling things fake news. And as much as CNN might be fake, and as much as we know they're in bed with the politicians creating news stories, is it really the government's position to determine for us what is and what is not fake? And once that starts, it is an all-out war. And because what you've seen recently with conservative, libertarian-minded people getting axed to the attacks on their character, yeah, it's coming.
There's no coming. Well, let me pose the question. Is there any coming back from that? Once you cross that line, You say CNN, fake news, very fake
sure.
news. Is there any coming back from that in terms of, well, take it however you want to take that question, I guess.
It depends on what the people do in response. if the people have this response of, hey, you know what, we really want to support alternative news sources, so we're going to sponsor them, we're going to do all that sort of stuff, then yeah, there's a possibility, because at the end of the day, money talks. As much as we complain about big national media empires, and yes, it is true, and yes, there's a lot of them, a lot of our local affiliates are locally owned. My show airs both on the internet streams and also on regular broadcast radio, and the majority of the stations that carry my radio show, the owners are there, like the guy who owns the station's there. But they can't air a program without sponsorship.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, if ABC, NBC, CNBC, CNN are going to be the ones that continue to get the multi-billion dollar sponsorship deals, and companies on our side are like, well, I don't know if I should spend money, I should just... Well, then, no, we're going to lose.
Okay.
We're going to lose.
Because your book, and folks, his book is fantastic. Now,
well,
I have problems pronouncing it. That's why I point to Joe. It's my...
You ready?
Go ahead.
See the black and the green?
Evangel.
And then what?
Preneur.
Evangelpreneur.
Evangelpreneur. See, I want to put the emphasis on the different syllable. I'm sorry about that. But no, okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
Okay, or here's my concern. What we saw in the last week, because your book, I believe, contains answers for all of us in the independent media. But what we saw this week, you saw Adroll give Jones the boot, Alex Jones the boot. And I think, actually, that really upset me a lot, because you know they're doing it. How can I put this? What is happening to Alex Jones is happening in spots with other independent media, and I'm not going to go into any more detail than that.
Well, Mike Adams, Natural News.
Well,
one of the things,
too. Yeah.
Because Mike Adams,
sure.
It started with him as he published an article of how it was either Facebook or Google wanted they wanted Mike Adams, the health ranger, to throw Jones under the bus publicly, and they even offered to pay him like $50,000, and Mike Adams turned around and published exactly what they threatened him with right away, and then I think it was the next day you saw the revenues being taken away from Jones, and then the day after that, you saw
the
Google, you know, blacklist, digitally assassinate, as Robert Steele said yesterday on our show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Natural News, and they carried out their threat, even though Adams published the communications with the threat and the attempted bribe in there. So what was so surprising to me is that they actually carried through and shut down Natural News, Mike Adams Natural News on Google.
Yeah, there's two elements to that. First, we have to remember that even prior to that, I believe in the timeline, it happened to Michael Savage too. And I get it, Michael Savage is a little bit more mainline than traditional alternative. But it happened to him too. Like, wasn't it like literally between 1 hour and 2 hours? Like in that break, boom, they shut him off?
Yep.
So it was happening then, as soon as you say anything contrary to the message. And if you look at what happened with the Natural News sort of situation, it's the same exact thing. Anything contrary. But what that situation actually proved is that they don't care if they're busted doing it. They don't care. You know, oh, well, you know, Mike Adams publishes what the big entity says. The big entity doesn't care. So what? Because now they're so big and there's so much control over the system, and there was no repercussions when CNN and MSNBC and all of them got caught in bed with the two parties. So now they're thinking, well, if nothing bad happens, why not? It's kind of like Al Capone. Al Capone, during the Great Depression, when he was running, well, not the Great Depression, I'm sorry, during the Prohibition, when he was running booze, he would actually go into police stations and say, hey, is there any truth that I'm a wanted man? And he would go in with the press and, you know, the cameramen of the day, and the police, not wanting to end up dead that night, would say, no. But then the news story would be Al Capone tries to turn himself in and nobody wants him.
Hmm.
It's all about how do you control the narrative. And unfortunately, they're controlling the narrative. And I think to a very real extent, that's going to change how we might have to distribute content in the very near future. Because, like I said, one, the establishment is going after the Trump administration anyway. But two, this whole countering foreign disinformation and propaganda act was a Republican bill. We can't even play the blame the Democrats for it. And there's no indication thus far that the Trump administration wants to get us out of it, because they're all fighting fake news too. And what's really happening is the two sides, the two really big power players, are calling each other fake news, so they don't want to get rid of the regulation, because whoever wins can then control the other. But as the little guys on the block, we're like the ants getting stepped on by the elephants who are fighting above us.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So, and again, I believe that you, as a Christian entrepreneur, have, I'm sure you've done the analysis, you've done the assessments, and there are ways that we can survive in this tumultuous time. So,
yeah,
this is the other thing too. I really believe that all of us in this new media or independent media arena must form like a NATO alliance, you know, and stick together, because we are. I'll tell you this: July 26th, 2012, the night before Joe's wedding, I got a notice from GoDaddy, who hosted my website, and they said, "You got 48 hours to get your website off of our servers, or we're going to forcibly shut it down." And right. Of course, because you violated our terms of service. Well, what was that? Read the fine print. Well, what's the fine print? But to make a long story short, it was the information that I had published about an insider source from DHS about the Obama people. That was the reason. Okay, so to me, that was like one of the first volleys in this independent media war, and this is going back for 4.5 years now. So anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with that, except to ask, to reaffirm that we need to stick together, but how do we counter this?
Well, it all comes back to entrepreneurship. It really does, and I know we're going to cover a multitude of topics tonight, and that's good, but it really does come back to entrepreneurship. Because this is proof in the pudding. You know, we've been talking, I've known you guys, I think, for 5 years now. We've been kind of going back and forth on each other's programs, or four at least.
Four, yeah.
But we've always been talking about this, but now it's happening. Those things that were feared before, and the naysayers were like, well, yeah, but, you know, you guys are always conspiracy theorists saying it's never going to happen. Folks, it's happening. It is really happening. We're losing access. The pipeline is getting smaller. Look what happened to Alex. Look what happened to Mike Adams. Look what happened even to Milo in a very real extent, even though I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff. But look at what happened there. You know, it's look at what happened to Savage. This is happening. So if we're going to say, okay, now that it's happening, what do? Well, we should have prepared. We should have embraced entrepreneurship 5 years ago when I was on the Hagman Show. But it's still the answer. Because if you look at Islam, for example, Islam is very good at moving into an area under great oppression or great minority status and still taking over. And the reason they're so successful is because a dollar spent in a Muslim community has 14 transactions inside that community before it leaves that community into the general population. That empowers that community to multiply itself. It literally multiplies itself. That's why they can come into a Dearborn and take over, or the suburbs of Minneapolis and take over, or now the suburbs of Nashville and take over, the suburbs of Atlanta and take over. Because they have that ability through entrepreneurship. So that same thing is true for us. But what we do is we say, well, I think the Republicans are going to create more jobs, and that's what we need is jobs. No. Jobs is just a lighter form of indentured servitude, and I don't even know if the lighter is that appropriate. That's what it is. And I get it, if you're 16, 18 years old, everybody needs a job. But the goal is to start a business. We used to teach that in our churches. We really did. I have the textbooks. So we used to teach people that the calling on your life, whatever it was to serve God, also included an element of entrepreneurship. Now we think of money as some taboo topic. We think of money as some sort of perverted prosperity gospel, or the devil's in charge of it, the love of money, you know, all that sort of stuff. And we take out what the Bible actually says. And whenever you do that, it creates a void, right? It creates this vacuum. Well, when you take God's word out of the issue of money, what fills it? Greed and all the other sins that come along with the devil. And then we look at it and say, well, I would never want any of that. Well, that's not what would be there if you actually went out there and did it. And nowhere do I ever talk about you have to become a millionaire or rolling in your Rolls Royce. That's not it at all. It's entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is an economic generator. Employment is an economic consumer. You lose. No economic model can sustain itself more than three generations if it's based on employment. So here we are, three generations in, $20 trillion in debt. I don't know if you or your listeners have looked up HR 708 or 807, sometimes I'm dyslexic, but it's basically a tax now that they're just proposed this week on you getting old. So the older you get, the more you're going to pay. Well, who does that hurt? Does that hurt the entrepreneurs who can actually adjust and make more? Or does that hurt the employees who can't do anything about it? So we have to get out of this mindset if we're going to believe in the Bible, if we're going to believe in prepping, if we're going to believe in inside jobs and conspiracies, if we're going to believe that they're offing naturopathic doctors, then we have to embrace entrepreneurship. And the myth is that if somehow you embrace entrepreneurship, you're the one that has to do the work 5 hours a day. Or you're going to be consumed by business ownership 50, 60 hours a week. And that's not true either. That's only the case if you do it wrong. But so many people have done it wrong because we don't teach it anymore that they go out, they try to start a business, they get in debt, work 50, 60 hours a week and say, well, that's worse than having a job. I would agree with you. I would never tell anybody to do that. But that's not entrepreneurship. That's small business ownership. All that is you bought your employment. That's it.
So you're talking about working smart at the same time, instead of working hard, which, you know.
Right. Not being a slave to your endeavors.
And there's a misconception, Josh, that you talk about, that you just covered, that you have to work if you own your own business, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And
no.
That's not the case at all.
No.
And
no, you know, what happens there is you have people who say, well, what am I good at? Well, I used to be a plumber, so I'm going to start a plumbing business. If that's you, yeah, you're going to work 50, 60 hours a week, and maybe if you survive the first 3 years, which is highly unlikely, you might become financially successful by the time you turn 80. But that's not entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is saying, hey, what can I do? What sort of opportunities are available to me so I can start a revenue-generating endeavor today and with the hours that you have? I actually did a class. It was a boot camp. I did it in Clearwater, Florida. It might have been since the last time I've been on with you guys. But I did a class where we actually got in a van, went out, pretended we were homeless, and I said, okay, guys, by the end of the day, don't be homeless. Because of what we were already teaching them in the class during the week. So now we actually went out and did it. And by the time we had lunch, we started four businesses and made tens of thousands of dollars in profit because you don't have to work 40 hours, 50, 60 hours a week. That's only if you're going to run a, like I said, a plumbing company where you do services from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Well, of course, if you have hours on your website, you're going to work those hours, and then you're going to put in the back-end time in addition to it. But that's not entrepreneurship.
No, you're absolutely right. All right. Interesting.
Sorry, I switched my earpiece here.
Interesting how, okay. All right. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the landscape here, Josh, and
yeah,
you know, things just don't seem. I mean, things are really, really rocky and bumpy. So but you're right in terms of your remedies, I believe. But go on. What else troubles you, if I can ask right now about about where we're at? Because I agree with you on the fact that the NDAA 2017. Still in effect, the NSA could be shut down because I mean they could be closed. I mean it's a leviathan that exists only at the pleasure of the president, executive branch.
Right. Right.
I mean,
you know, and there's a lot of this, and I'm not trying to take away from Trump. And yeah, you know, it's still new. He's only been in there a month and 4 days. I get it, and it's a massive machine. Gotcha. But you're right. A lot of these things are at his disposal. A lot of these agencies and alphabet soup agencies don't fall other under branches. They fall under the executive branch. So when you look at these things and you say, hey, wait a second, why is this happening? It's a good question. It's a really good question. Then you look at this idea that he was going to drain the swamp.
Yeah.
With who? People who are from the other swamp? I mean, it's like, well, where did that come from? But what it really comes down to, and this I know I promised on a show that we did together. I was on your show before the election, and I said, guys, this is what I promise. I promise that regardless of who wins, Hillary or Donald, the one thing you can count on is your government getting bigger. The government's getting bigger. Donald's adding jobs to the Department of Justice. He's, you know, adding all these jobs. And that is true. He's going to increase the police state. He's making no bones about that. Now, some conservatives love it. That's what we need. Clean up Chicago. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. My solution would be, let Chicago clean up itself. Eliminate some of these crazy gun restrictions that Mayor Daley put in place. Allow good, law-abiding people to carry firearms and let them clean up Chicago. Don't send in the National Guard to do it. So there's a lot of differences that I think Donald is doing a very good job skirting the issue, while at the same time, if we were really honest with ourselves, we would raise a ton of red flags. So we have to look at that. The other thing we have to look at, too, and I know I am and you guys are and many of your listeners are, we have to look at the beliefs. Also, we have to look at where are we religiously? How is this panning out? Are people turning to Trump as a god?
Yep.
Because we talked about that, how people worship government. When something's wrong in our life, we turn to government and say, please, government, can I have more food? Please, government, can I have more jobs? Please, government, can I have more housing? Well, wait a second. Who are you supposed to pray to? God or the government? So when you look at that, I don't care if it's a conservative Republican in the image of the American flag or something, you know, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's not God. So we really have to be careful when it comes to our faith and what we're putting our faith in.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I do see this deification of Donald Trump by the people who are supportive of Donald Trump. I don't have any problem with people being proud. The national pride, the pride of leadership. Yep. I get all that. But I see some people falling into that, you know, right or wrong mentality. Wow. Yeah. So, but you're right. You know, the show we did before, the election, you did make that statement, very assertive statement, saying that regardless of who wins, the government's going to grow, and bingo, there it is. Okay. But and the other thing too, I was thinking of when you mentioned this, we're just a little over a month into his administration.
Yeah.
You know, we've already experienced, I think, some cultural whiplash and some just whiplash from the way he's taken the country from the direction it was headed to this new direction. So I can see where if he would, for example, if Monday morning he said, look, I'm shutting down the NSA, bam, it's going to be shut down. I don't know if our government could do you think our government could survive the shutting down, the shuttering of an agency that large that quickly?
No, and that's why, you know, like you just said, I referenced he's only been there a month. You know, we have to realize that this is a multi-trillion-dollar business, and you just can't pull a plug on one thing. Look at your phones, for goodness sakes, your smartphones. When you try to uninstall one app, it tells you what? By uninstalling this app, you might cause those other two to fall apart. Well, how much more true is this when you have things like the NSA with all these little spiderweb fingers everywhere that we don't even know about? You shut that down without any planning or prep, you might be opening up the floodgates. So you never know. So, yeah, we have to give him a little bit of time. And to be honest, give him the benefit of a doubt for a little bit. Maybe he's being extremely smart. Maybe he's letting these people ferret themselves out. Maybe by having all these inside FBI leakers or something, he's allowing himself to see who he can trust, who he can't trust, and who's about to end up in Leavenworth turning big rocks into little rocks.
I really want to believe that, and I do suspect from what I'm hearing, at least from the DOJ, people from within my context within the DOJ, there's going to be some pretty major things take place, but they've got to have, his cabinet, they're slow walking his cabinet positions. They're doing a lot of things to undermine him in a big way. So that might take a little bit longer. On the other side, I want to ask you too about the 29, the meeting with the 29 business leaders in the White House. I thought that was a magnificent idea, and I think it's the first time that's happened in since our country was founded that we had a meeting like that of all the business leaders. Get your take on the other side of the break on that.
Yeah, and when we come back, also like to get your take on this this culture of division that the media is creating. I know we talked a little bit about the media at first, but I want to kind of get back into that if possible, as well as what's going on with the media and this transgender argument. It really started as a advocation for pedophilia with a number of journalists or alleged journalists or talking heads from Chris Cuomo to Bill Maher after the Milo incident, and how this, you know, has turned back into a transgender issue and how they're trying to continue to force this down our throats, and also about Congress and why Congress isn't getting more done or seeming to they have their foot on the brake pedal. We're talking with Josh Tully from The Josh Tully Show, joshtully.com. He'll be with us and through our next segment. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that dream. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Josh Tully is our guest. The link to his website in our program description. Visit his website. Contact information is on his website there as well for Josh Tully. Before we get back to Josh, I just want to mention two things. T.C. Joseph, the first or this generation series of novels. What a great writer T.C. Joseph is. He takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide in this three-book series. I recommend this highly. Book one is Precipice, book two is Pentecost, and book three is Penance. And you can get more information about this at thisgenerationseries.com. This is just a wonderful series of novels. And you know what? It seems like you're living it when you read it. He's a talented writer. Kirkus Review, Blue Ink Reviews, tremendous, just absolutely tremendous reviews from those different companies. And I've heard from many people who have read his book saying it's wonderful. And also, I want to just make sure I welcome into the fold preddefense.com. That's P-R-E-D, preddefense.com. They make this wonderful, very handy side loading device to side load a shotgun in a hurry. Okay. You know, many people, we've been using shotguns for personal defense. Obviously, police use them. Have you ever tried in a stressful situation to reload a shotgun? It can be problematic. Well, Pred Defense has the answer. PREDDefense.com. They've got the answer. I would strongly encourage you to take a look at preddefense.com. That's PREDDefense.com. They have a solution, a patented solution that I think you will appreciate. And I got to tell you, it works well for a Mossberg shotgun. Tried it. Wonderful. Great device. That's preddefense.com.
Josh Tully is our guest. His website is joshtully.com. His show is The Josh Tully Show. You can listen to it on GCN every morning, 10 to noon, I believe it is Eastern time. And Josh is a friend and a guest of our show. And Josh, we were talking about a number of things in the last segment and this segment. A few things I want to throw out at you. One, we saw this last election cycle that Congress was retained, Republicans retained control of the Congress, excuse me, and the Senate. Along with the presidency. And one of the things we've seen from Trump, as I'm sure he was in a rush to get some things done, to one, please the people who got him elected and to show as a sign of good faith that he was going to follow through with his promises. But why haven't we seen the Congress, get anything done? And we've seen Trump, at this rabid pace, with these executive orders. Is it a case of them not working together? Or is it this, the Never Trump movement and the liberal left halting things up? What's going on with Congress?
Well, it's actually a couple things. The first thing is, yes, there is the Never Trump sort of idea that didn't go away. We need to remember that a lot of these people are just playing along because he's the president. And a lot of them are really, they were believing it before, but they're really believing it now that he's going to be a very ineffective president. Because of the inability to make those deals, like he said, because of his inability to keep his mouth shut and not put his foot in his face. So a lot of them are thinking, well, wait a second, why am I attaching my political career to this guy? Let's just wait this out for 4 years. Then we can say, well, this wasn't really the Republican Party. This was an anomaly called Donald Trump. Look, we didn't go along with any of this stuff. So there's part of that. The other aspect to this, though, is, well, there's two more aspects. The other aspect is that we need to remember politicians don't fix problems. They don't want to fix problems. If Congress was going to fix the problem, you wouldn't need Congress. And one of the worst things that ever happened to this country is politics became a profession. As soon as people could make a living, and a good one at that, ruling over other people, why do you think they would ever try to fix the actual problem? They would be working themselves out of a job. That's why the only thing that Congress produces is legislation. That's it. That's their only product. So in order for them to come together and get rid of the problems, they would be making themselves irrelevant. So they're never going to get rid of problems. And a great example is Obamacare. This was supposed to be getting killed by the Republicans last midterm, remember? They were all, well, you know, let us have a victory and we'll get rid of Obamacare. We gave them the victory. What happened? Nothing. Boehner said, yeah, we're not going to get rid of it. The Republican Party said, well, we'll come up with a repeal and replace. Well, wait a minute. Replace it with what? Don't. Shush. Don't do it. So what you're seeing is exactly what you can expect, that it's not going to happen. People have to stop thinking that if we elect the right person. Let me tell you, I was a huge Ron Paul fan. I've met Ron Paul. I know his kid. Like, but let's just be honest. If Ron Paul was in office, it still wouldn't have changed. It's not about electing one guy to Washington, D.C. It's about we have to take back control. And the way we do that is two things. Entrepreneurship. And then the second thing is we take back this country county by county. If we had entrepreneurship and constitutional-minded sheriffs, then it wouldn't matter what's coming out of D.C. And a lot of us thought, well, we have some constitutional sheriffs now. And then something happened that made me a little bit doubtful. Not that there's not some great ones out there. I've met with them. They've been on the show, all that sort of stuff. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. But remember when these protesters got busted doing these protests, like in front of the bus, they blocked the traffic, and then, you know, in Florida, they incited violence, and O'Keefe and Project Veritas released these videos of these people admitting they did the crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was stopping those county sheriffs from arresting those people? If you and I got into a fight, or you and I were engaged in a drug deal, and it happened to be caught on somebody's cell phone and it was up on Facebook, the police would be at our house before we ended this show. You're telling me that this admitted confession of guilt to hundreds of millions of people didn't get a visit from the local county sheriff in which it happened? Huh. So what about those constitutionally minded sheriffs? And then you could say, well, okay, but it has to happen in the county in which the crime happened. Yeah, but it depends. Because with a lot of political crimes, the defrauding of the voter happens of a citizen in a county where the event actually didn't happen. So even in those counties, a lot of those sheriffs have the ability to go and make arrests, especially if those organizations were raising funds from people inside that county. So where were the constitutional sheriffs arresting these people? So that's what it comes down to. We need entrepreneurship, and we need to take the country back county by county. There's a little over 3,500 or 3,600 counties in the United States. If we got 1701, we win. We win. We're good to go. But until then, we are at the whim of whatever the political parties want to do. And as we've talked about time and time and time again, it's not going to change. It's one coin. You just vote for heads or tails.
It's that mentality, though, that makes the difference, the entrepreneurship mentality.
Yes.
And I think that that's a very important aspect where people have to really understand that. Because, and again, you're a gifted writer. You point that out in your book. Okay. All right. And you're exactly right with respect to the county sheriffs. Absent AWOL. Especially, I mean, this is a lay down investigation.
Right.
On several of these, there should have been action, criminal charges filed. You got Robert Kramer, the wife of Jan Schakowsky, essentially admitting to criminal activity. I mean, he's still, you know, walking around. He's without a job, but nonetheless, he's still walking around free.
Yep.
Yep. That's,
yep. Meanwhile, a kid at high school sells a dime bag to his friend trying to be cool, and they catch it on the closed circuit television camera. And the police arrest this kid and throw him in jail for 10 years.
That's right.
So, this whole fairness and the law is blind and Lady Justice is blind, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Josh, you know, rather, Joe and I just kind of traded glances here. Rather than direct anything more, why don't you tell us what's on your heart, what you've been covering on your show that really has been driving your show? Because we have a crossover audience to be sure, but I know you've covered a lot of things that perhaps we haven't covered the way you have, or not at all. So is there anything that's on your heart that you've covered, events that, you know, you're saying, wait a minute, this isn't right, or this, I want to focus on this or that? You've got the floor if you'd like.
And I think the fact that we share audience is wonderful. As long as you guys don't switch time slots, I'm okay with it.
same here.
But no, I think it's great. I meet people all the time that say, hey, you know what, I listen to you and the Hagmans, and that's wonderful. But some of the things that have been on my mind lately is this whole social justice warrior, college kids are too weak to even lift up a paperclip sort of mindset. That's going to kill us. Mm-hmm. The generation that we call the millennials, we think that they're the youth, but they're really not. Millennials are now 36 years old. These are people who on the top end of the millennial gap are old enough to run for president. They're certainly having kids of themselves. They're procreating. It's kind of like when you throw water on a gremlin. You know, this is kind of a bad situation to be in because we are where we are. So that's kind of been on my mind, this whole social justice warrior phenomenon. Another thing that's been on my mind that I'm glad to see the rest of the mainstream media is finally catching up with me on is population decline. Yes, decline. For years, I've been called a kook and, you know, Josh, it's crazy. We're going to go to 20 billion people. What are you talking about? But if anybody Googles the population right now, you're going to see that we are in for a very large, nasty surprise, and it's going to happen in most of our lifetimes. And then the third thing that I've really been touching on is how we seem to ignore the reality of Islam. You know, we love to say that Islam is not a subversive entity or religion. It's not trying to oust the United States Constitution or its people, but it absolutely is. There's now been over 150 court cases in the United States where Sharia law was used instead of the United States Constitution. And that is terrorism. So when you have people who say, well, Josh, these Muslims, they're not carrying out these attacks. Yeah, they are. They're just not blowing people up. But when a court sets aside the United States Constitution and instead picks up Sharia, that's an act of terror. That's exactly what the Constitution was talking about when it said protect the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. A domestic enemy is not somebody who wants to light fire to the Constitution. That's not going to happen. It's encased, and unless you're Nicolas Cage with a 5-cent fake copy of the Constitution, you're not going to be able to steal it. So the Constitution itself is safe. What that's referring to is you protect the principles that are in it against people who are in the country who try to subvert it. Well, that's Islam. So yes, anybody who wants Sharia is, by the Constitution, a terrorist, an enemy. So that's something that we don't.
Well, and if I could just say this, the reality of Islam is the common thread. You mentioned three things: the social justice movement, the social justice warriors, population decline, and the reality of Islam. The third reality of Islam, in my view, is a common thread of all three. The assault on the population, at least the Western European population base here in America. You've got this immigration jihad, this invasion. It really, it's not even an immigration, it's an invasion. And they're outpacing the birth rates. Then you've got the social justice warriors, the Muslims like Linda Sarsour?
Lady who organized these events.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing when you look out over the sea of signs. Whether it's the Women's March or whatever, you've got this lady, red or the flag as a hijab, covering the headdress of a woman. And they're celebrating this feminist diversity or feminine, tolerance, love, and all this. It's a bunch of crap. I mean, these people are mind-numb and brainwashed. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just kind of wanted to mention that because I think that kind of runs through all three of those.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely does. And not even in a hidden way. Like, they're coordinating together.
Right.
That's why you have like organizations protesting together. That's why you have Black Lives Matter traveling to the Middle East to learn how to protest. I mean, really? Do you really think these are separate issues? And, you know, for a while, from probably 2002 to 2010, you had a lot of people who said, well, radical Islam is just the result of blowback from Western aggression in the Middle East. Now, I do not agree with our Middle Eastern policy. I think it's absolutely stupid, and I know that we've created a lot of this problem. Whether it's Benghazi or ISIS, that was us. So I'm totally on board. But to say that Islam and radical Islam, whatever radical means, is somehow a result of Western aggression is just foolish, because the number one victim of Islam is Islam. Like, they're killing themselves. You know, they're invading Singapore, they're Southeast Asia, Northern Africa, Europe, a bunch of countries that didn't bomb them. So this idea that it's blowback is ridiculous. And I had a lawyer on the show from Iran, and he told me point blank, he said, you don't have to worry about the guys who want to blow up a bus. Those are the easy guys. The dangerous people are the people who you call moderates. Well, if you look at what's happening in Europe, as much as Sweden is trying to deny it, the people of Sweden are saying, no, we're absolutely under siege. Italy is the same way. Greece is the same way. Spain, France, Portugal, Sweden, Switzerland, Norway. For goodness sakes, it's time we wake up. And why do we think we're the only country that's going to be immune to this? Just because we're so large? But it's like a hurricane. Everywhere it's been, it's created destruction. But somehow, only here, it's going to be wonderful. And just to piggyback off of that, this idea that if somehow we ban Muslim immigration, it's going to change something, wrong. Islam is the fastest growing religion inside of the United States. Islam is not a race. Islam is not from the Middle East. Well, it's originally from the Middle East and Medina, but it's not like it's coming from one spot. It's a religious ideology. And studies have shown that the converts are even more militant than the people who are not letting in. So the reality is that it's something we have to be aware of. And way too many Christians are going to churches, and Catholics too, are going to churches that are embracing what's called Krishlam, saying that Allah is just the Arabic word for God, which it might be, but it's not the same God. That'd be like me saying, well, baseball player. Well, are you talking about Jose Canseco, or are you talking about Babe Ruth? Just because I say baseball player doesn't mean I'm talking about the same person. So we have to get off of this idea that somehow these things can coexist. They can't. And that goes back to the population issue, too. We were told to be fruitful and multiply. We're not doing it. We're not. The reality is that in the United States of America, women the age of 15 to 45, so childbearing age, the demographic of that age, that group, 48.5% of them, so half of all women of childbearing age have zero kids. Now we think, well, what's the big deal? But if you really think about this, if two people have one baby and that those two parents then die, what happens to the population? A lot of people will say, well, it gets cut in half. No, it doesn't. It gets cut by two-thirds. Now, what happens when two people have one baby, but four other couples, so eight other people, have zero babies? I mean, this is catastrophic, and we're not paying attention to it. They're trying to hide it. But even if you go on the World Health Organization's website, the UN's website, they will tell you that peak population is right around 9 billion people. So somebody might say, well, Josh, that's population growth. We're only at 7 billion now. No. No. The generation that's going to produce the two other billion are the 7 billion. What happens when the 7 billion die? You're left with 2. So we're going to go from 7 to 9 to about 2 to 3 within most of our lifetimes. And we're already experiencing it. Japan, in the past 4 years alone, or 5, whatever it is, they've lost well over 1.5 million people. Their population is dropping like a rock. But what they're not telling you in the U.S., so is ours. For the past 7 years, kindergarten classes are getting smaller. And people like to say, well, the millennials, that was a large generation. But again, folks, time travels fast. I understand that. The millennials are now 36 years old. They're having kids who are about to go into high school. So this idea that that generation was large is completely irrelevant. We are not having children. And it's not just here. It's Russia. It's all of Europe. It's all of South America. It's all of Asia. China, for goodness sakes, is in a terrible predicament. You'd think the people that invented the abacus would have figured this out. They not only had a one-child policy, which will reduce population by two-thirds within one generation cycle, but they aborted 40 million women. So they can't even catch up, even if they wanted to. And I recently gave a presentation at a military base where I had the commander of that base, like the guy with the stuff on his shoulder, the man. And I said to him, before I told you any of this, I said to him, sir, let's just pretend that you knew your available military force was going to be dropping by, let's just say not even two-thirds, let's just say a third, let's say a half. If you knew that was coming in 10 years, what would you do? And he said, I would pick up the little red phone on my desk, I would call the president, and I would say, Mr. President, if there's anything you want to do, we got to do it now. Because no conflict anymore is 2 to 3 years. And I'm not kidding. After that event, he resigned. He now retired. Because we talked about what's happening with the population. And he was no fool. He knew what it meant. He knew that's why Russia's acting the way Russia's acting. He knew that's why China is trying to take over Taiwan and the South China Sea. Because what's happening right now, without the people panicking, is we're having all the global powers play a giant game of hungry, hungry hippos for population. That's why you're not going to see a wall. And I called it on your show before. I said, even if Donald Trump gets elected, watch. He's not going to stick to immigration policy. Because as soon as he gets in office, they're going to tell him the truth of what I just told you, which is the equivalent of a meteor coming in the next 10 years, taking out two-thirds of the world's population. And they're not going to kick those people out. I said that on your show. And guess what? If you read the headlines today, what's he saying? Well, we believe in the dreamers. If you're here already, we might not. Why do you think he said that? Because somebody told him, hey, we need to keep that door open because, believe it or not, we're losing people. We're creating more ghost towns now than we did in the 1800s, and they're trying to keep it very, very quiet. Because even if you think you're a globalist and we're supposed to live according to the Georgia Guidestones, we're doing it too fast. We're going to go from Adam and Eve, whatever your belief is, 1 million and 10,000, 6,000, whatever it is, we're going to go from Adam and Eve to 7 billion in thousands of years, but then we're going to go down to 2 while we're here. And if you want to know what that looks like, watch Mad Max or look at the city of Detroit. Detroit had millions of people. Then about two-thirds of them left. And now it's a cesspool. There are places where the police won't even go. There are areas in there where two-thirds of the streetlights don't work. Half of the ambulances don't work. Rapid population decline is extremely dangerous, and that's where we're heading.
Josh, how much of this do you think? I mean, you touched on a little bit with the China, one-child policy with the abortions. But when it comes to, especially in America, I don't know about the rest of the world, how much of this is chemical castration in a way through the chemicals in the food and the air and the water? How much of this is, people who can't have kids or haven't really tried but haven't produced any kids versus when they want to versus not being able to? How much of this do you think is brought on by the way we live, whether it's our own fault or because of the chemicals and everything else that's going on in our society?
Chemical-wise, I would say very, very little. Not that it doesn't exist. I've seen the things, the frogs that are now female. I get it. I totally get it. But not very much. And I think the elitists are thinking, holy cow, this was easier than we thought. Because the reality is we don't want kids. We're into us. We're into, hey, you know what? I wanna get my degree. Then I wanna travel the world. Then I wanna become an Xbox champion or whatever it is. So now the average age of even a woman having a child has gone up so much that we've become a selfish generation. And again, I can tie this back into employment. If you are to ask people, like maybe your grandparents or parent, whatever, how many brothers and sisters did they have? And you will get answers like, well, my grandpa was one of seven, my grandma was one of nine, or my grandpa was one of six. You know, you'd have these large families. And then you ask how many they had. Well, we had three. How many did they have? None. And I've done this in hundreds of rooms now, where we demonstrated how the grandparents' generation, just of the room, was over 150. And then everybody 30 and under had zero kids. So it's not as if the globalists had to do it. We did it to ourselves. And it's tied to employment, because let me tell you why. When an entrepreneur needed to grow, when he wasn't doing financially well, what did he do? He had kids. Because he needed help growing the business, running the farm, working the blacksmith shop, doing whatever. The solution when you're an entrepreneur is you have children to grow your business. But when you're an employee, you can't. Because if you're an employee making $30 an hour, you can't afford a kid. So you don't have one. And by having one doesn't give you a raise at work. So even in that reality, more dangerous than the chemicals in the water was the paycheck on Friday. That's what killed the population, especially of Bible-believing Christians.
And this is why, what you just heard is why the Josh Tully Show is number one. I mean, this, what you just heard is so important. And I would dare say perhaps one of the most important segments of our show this week was just laid out by Josh Tully. That's why Josh Thank Tully, you. I'm telling you, you're right on the money. The three issues, I'm glad we just let it go like that. Fantastic. It's a little bit disturbing.
But well, then go get married, have sex, start a business, everything will be fine, and pray to God.
I got to get permission from my wife, though, if you don't mind.
Josh, we only got a minute left. You got anything coming up you want to promote? Any big guests? Any upcoming appearances?
Well, we're going to have you guys on. That's a given.
Absolutely.
I'm doing the Hear the Watchman thing again in end of March.
Cool.
But, oh, here's something else. Since I've been on your show, we've been doing a lot of Purple Monkey University. So people can go to purplemonkeyuniversity.com. We do weekly courses, so people can learn how to start a business even if you don't know what you're doing. And if this stuff resonated with you, if you want to help other people, we're now opening up locations, Purple Monkey Garage locations around the country and around the world. So, of course, I'm not going to lie, there's an investment to that. We're actually starting a real business with the Purple Monkey Garage. But the Purple Monkey University, go there. There's some cool free stuff on there. There's some classes. And then, of course, Purple Monkey Garage if you've ever thought of starting a business and changing the world.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Well, great to hear. And we'll absolutely we'll be in touch, and we'd love to come on your show.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to... Yeah, we're going to have to do this more often.
As
you said, it was before the election last time you came on our show, and that's a long time.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for your time tonight.
Absolutely. And, folks, Josh had a big thing going on. He stepped away just to appear for us. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you, Josh, for your gift.
It's an honor. You guys have been upstanding men, and I have said this to everybody I've met. There are two people that when you meet them, they are exactly what they appear to be on television and radio, and that's Doug and Joe Hagman. So I love you guys. You guys are awesome, and I can't wait to do it again.
All right. Thanks, brother.
God bless you, Josh. You have a great evening.
You too.
That'll do it for us this week. Until Monday, stay safe. God bless. Have a great weekend.